You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm calling you G today, and I'm calling Greg McElroy Mac.
No, not okay. I'm sorry.
I feel like Carlton or something.
I see a happy man. O-P-I. Rex, is it a good call?
Oh, no way.
Hey, Greeny, knock on wood.
My original inclination when I hear something like that is to dismiss it.
You're not going to jump on my segment.
I'm showing your segment the proper respect.
This is knock on wood, damn it.
Which quarterback-receiver tandem has produced the most touchdowns over the last three seasons?
Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
He got it right.
Yes, I'm in your head.
He's the best.
I love it right here.
Yes.
Man!
Greeny, go change your kids' names ASAP.
I've renamed them.
Fire and Gase.
This is a horrible football team.
This is against everything football is about.
If I am fortunate enough to have a grandchild who wants to play football, I wouldn't hire Adam Gase to coach that team. He would be overmatched coaching that team. It has been a fun week, and we are delighted you've been with us, and it's only getting better on this Football Friday on Get Up, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Greeny and a cast of millions. Mark Sanchez ready to join the party, and it's time to get up with a Bengals, Browns, barn burner, Baker, Burrow, a good one to kick off the weekend. We will start there. Then, I've been telling you for 6 weeks, and I will not stop. Don't sleep on the Steelers. I will convince this crew that Big Ben's bunch belongs with the AFC's best. And then the Butler did it again. The heat is on. Are the Celtics falling apart? Those are the questions. We've got the answers on this edition of Get Up, which rolls on right now with the game of the night kicking off week two. Battle for bragging rights in Ohio. But so much more on the stake. There's a number one overall pick. There's a number one overall pick. Pick it up in the first quarter. Browns down 3-0. Second down and four from the 11. Nick Chubb owned this night. Chubb, 22 carries, 124 yards. That's one of his two touchdowns. Browns take the lead. Second quarter, Browns at the 43. Why not get Baker out in space? Why not have him throw into Odell? Why not convert a 43-yard touchdown? There it is. We've been waiting all year for it. First TD of the year for OBJ. He had four catches, 74 yards, and that touchdown. Browns take the lead, 14-3. Same score, still in the second. Bengals driving. Joe Burrow, he would throw 61 passes. None of them better than this. That's a dime on a nice route by C.J. Uzama up the sideline. It's a touchdown. It's Burrow's first career touchdown pass. And LeBron says, that kid's special. He has the it for sure. Heavy praise from the king. Meanwhile, later in the second, Baker with the answer. Third and goal from the 7. Someone's got to cover Kareem Hunt. 21-10 in favor of the Browns at the break. Third quarter. Bengals down 21-13. Third and 9 from their own 12. We talked about the two quarterbacks are number one overall picks. Myles Garrett says, don't forget about me. There's another number one overall pick, and he makes the big play. Watch the swipe with the big paws. He knocks that away. Burrow takes the worst of it in every conceivable way, and the Browns take over in business. Fourth quarter now. Browns driving. They're up by 12. They're in the scoring area. The one thing you can't do is turn the ball over. The one thing you can't do is turn the ball over. Mayfield picked off by William Jackson III. Baker, 16 of 23, 219 yards, two touchdowns, and that interception. Burrow takes the Bengals right down the field. First and goal, Mike Thomas, yes. Burrow, 37 of 61 in his second game as a rookie. Three touchdowns, but 4 minutes to go. Browns looking to ice it. The Bengals just had no answer for the Browns running game. Here comes Kareem Hunt. Cleveland would run the ball for 215 yards, and the Browns would get a win they desperately need. 35-30, the final in the battle for Ohio.
I think that's going to build confidence for us and us playing complementary football with the defense. It's, you know, that's the scary part is if we start clicking and keep getting better, it is going to be a fun ride.
Losing isn't very fun. You know, this might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost two games in a row. Doesn't feel very good.
All right, so the spotlight is always on the quarterbacks, and we'll put the spotlight on ours. RC and McAfee with me this morning, and Mark Sanchez has joined the party from the West Coast, getting up early with us here. And so, Mark, let's start with you. There was so much attention paid to the pressure on Baker Mayfield to play well last night, and they got the win, and they ran the ball effectively. What did you see specifically from Mayfield last night?
Well, listen, I thought he played much better, and it was I'd give credit, all the credit, really, to Coach Stefanski. Listen, he took the ball out of Mayfield's hands on crucial situations, fourth and I think it was three or four on the goal line. Crucial situation, give it to Nick Chubb. They're running it on third and four. Crucial situation, give it to Nick Chubb. Baker tried to lose it at one point, throwing that interception like he talked about on the highlight. But the most important thing was take it out of his hands, keep his attempts to 25, maybe 30 if you absolutely need it, but ride Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt until the wheels fall off. And then let Baker make his splash plays like he does, because he gets streaky, and when he gets streaky, ride him. But for the most part, your bread and butter's got to be that run game.
All right, so RC, I want to focus in specifically a little bit on Odell, because again, he had the four catches, 74 yards last night, and got the touchdown. The formula for this team seems to be run it, run it, run it. And they did for 215 yards last night. What does that mean for a guy like Beckham, who we know at least historically, and most receivers do, care a lot about their targets and all that sort of thing? How does that fit together in your mind this early in the season?
Well, listen, last night we saw Baker Mayfield get Kirk Cousins, and it wasn't a bad thing. And go back to last year when Kirk Cousins has to come out and apologize to Adam Thielen. The reason he had to apologize to him was because the year before, Adam Thielen broke a record for 100-yard games. Now, think back to also Stephon Diggs having an issue with Kirk Cousins last year. They found ways to get Diggs the ball and make him happy, at least until he was traded this offseason. So Kevin Stefanski understands how to deal with talented wide receivers. He understands how to get talented wide receivers the football when they want it, when they ask for it, when they call for it. And that's going to be his job. He was first hired to make sure Baker Mayfield could feel comfortable and dangerous at the same time. Now he's going to have to figure out how to make sure Odell Beckham Jr. is happy on the outside. And I believe he is the man for this job. Last night, when you watch this game, they didn't force the ball to him when he was double teamed. They didn't put him in bad situations that put Baker Mayfield in bad situations. So many times last year with Freddie Kitchens, they were forcing the ball into Odell Beckham Jr. when there wasn't the opportunity, and it made for bad chemistry. It made for bad plays, getting behind the sticks in series. Kevin Stefanski will not do that, but Odell Beckham Jr. will get the ball when he's supposed to get it. He just has to make the plays.
So, McAfee, again, this is a team with expectations and, you know, a tight win on a Thursday night against a Bengals team that we don't expect to be very good. I don't know exactly what to make of that. In your mind, are we looking at a team that will be playing meaningful games into December in Cleveland?
I don't think so. I mean, that AFC North is going to be problematic, I think, for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns with the Steelers and Ravens. And I know it's hard not to overreact, but the Cincinnati Bengals had a number one overall pick for a reason. They stink, right? I mean, Joe Burrow is obviously making them better. They got blown out by the Ravens last week. And then this week, their defense didn't seem to be able to stop anything. But I think what happened that is great for Baker Mayfield, Andrew Berry, who's the new GM over there, former Harvard quarterback, big old brain on him. He said, this is what we need to do. We need to be a run-first team. They just paid Kareem Hunt. They got Nick Chubb. They bring in Austin Hooper, the tight end. They invest in him. He's a road-grading, blocking tight end. And if we have a great run game, as a former NFL quarterback, Mark Sanchez, and myself, the play action and the threat of the run opens up everything else. He only passed the ball 23 times last night. I think that is the recipe for success. 215 yards rushing, 219 yards passing. Let's be balanced. Let's let these monsters in the back and also in our blocking game kind of take advantage of their front box. And then once it opens up, let's go ahead and let Baker Mayfield do his thing. I think he threw some great balls last night. Obviously, the interception was a bad decision. He has to eliminate that. But if their recipe for success is running the ball to throw the ball, I think that makes all the sense in the world. And going forward, that's probably what they're going to do, because that's what Andrew Berry has been investing in.
Okay, so we've spent pretty much all morning long talking about Baker and talking about the Browns. Let's look at the other number one pick again. Joe Burrow impressed LeBron James last night. We saw the tweet. He certainly impressed Troy Aikman if you were watching the coverage. Let's see what Mark Sanchez thought. Mark, what did you see through a quarterback's eyes from Joe Burrow in his second NFL start last night?
Well, he picked up right where he left off in that national championship game, and he looked so comfortable in the pocket. Let's roll that tape.
Ooh.
You see right away, he's got double press on two receivers. They're on the same level. RC, coach these DBs up, man. Don't put them on the same level because they could get picked. They're going to get picked right here. Joe Burrow sees it. He signals them right there. Now you're going to have to change that signal, Joe Burrow, because everybody in the world saw it. But here he goes. He knows exactly what to do in a crucial situation on fourth and four. And what does he do? He lets the pick happen. The DB goes over the top. He sees it and throws a perfect back shoulder right next to the sticks. That's exactly what you want out of your seasoned veteran quarterback. And you're getting it out of a rookie who has to make incredible plays with his legs almost every play. And here comes this other touchdown. They got him in empty formation. He's running stuff at the line of scrimmage. Sure, it's late in the game and they're losing. They're trying to come back. But he's signaling stuff to these guys. He's going through dummy cadences. And then he's making the right check at the right time and the right read, giving an accurate ball. This is so hard to do for so many quarterbacks, and he's doing it with ease. It's really impressive.
That's really well done, Sanchez. And again, Mark knows what he's talking about. He started right out of the chute there. I think we've frozen, but we got in all of the comments, so that was really worked out very well. Sanchez started immediately and actually won his first three games as a starting quarterback. Let me go to you, my LSU fellow there, Ryan Clark. What did you see from your former quarterback last night?
You know what? We saw all the things from Joe Burrow that made him a national champion and probably the greatest collegiate quarterback of all time, at least for a year. He's poised. He's athletic. He throws the ball in spots where he needs to fit him in, and he makes sure that everyone on his team is in the right place and ready for each play. I think the other thing that we noticed about Joe Burrow is that he hates losing. He's an extreme competitor, and that is what the Cincinnati Bengals organization needed. That is who they drafted. Let's not forget, Greeny, Joe Burrow is a grown man. Like a grown adult man. And I don't say that like other people in the NFL aren't. He's a guy who was 5 years in college. He had to deal with adversity. He's older than Lamar Jackson is right now. He's a guy that Zach Taylor and the Cincinnati Bengals coached about being, saying that he was too far ahead of what they had given him and he wanted more. He's prepared for this situation. And even though he's never lost two games in a row, like he said last night, he's prepared for the adversity. He's overcome obstacles before, and he will not be a failure as long as the organization does right by him and protects him. I think Joe Burrow is off to a great start. It's fun to watch him, and I can't wait to see him progress.
I'm with you on all of that. McAfee, I just have a second here, but quickly, as you watch this game, did you feel, as I did, more confident in Burrow, in his control of what was going on and his sense of what was going on the field? It's his second game on a short week. It's Mayfield's third year, and yet I felt like Burrow seemed more in control of the game last night.
Yeah, there's no moment too big for Joe Burrow, and I got a chance to be on that megacast during the national championship, and I was standing less than a foot away from Joe Burrow while he's warming up in the biggest game of his life, and he was so calm, so cool, ready to do it. And I look back at there was a two-minute drive right before 12 seconds left in the half. He rushes the team up, spikes the ball because they had no timeouts left, and they still make points. I mean, that's veteran quarterback-like stuff that he's doing. Nothing seems too big for Joe Burrow. And aside from getting a quarterback that is super competitive, like Ryan Clark said they needed, they also need an indoor practice facility in Cincinnati if they want to win some games. But aside from that, Joe Burrow moving forward, I hope he doesn't get slaughtered like Andrew Luck did early in his career, and I hope they take advantage of it because he is the guy in the natty moving forward.
All right, well said. Well done and well said. It's good to have McAfee back. Let me take a break on a Football Friday. We have hoops to get to as well. LeBron James said all the right things about the Nuggets yesterday, but how worried should he be about his opponent in the Western Conference Final? We'll talk about it. And then one of my friends yesterday said the Cowboys are a sleeping giant, but they're making one huge mistake. You'll hear what it is and what they should do about it. Coming up, this is Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, Diana Russini. Let's run the hurry up through some injury news. We start with Michael Thomas. What's the latest?
Yeah, the Saints are feeling optimistic about Michael Thomas right now. He practiced yesterday. He felt really good, but Green, remember, high ankle sprains are really difficult to recover from. There's a lot of bruising and some pain that goes with that. So it's going to come down to the Saints, of course, making the call whether or not they want their number one receiver in there. If it was up to Thomas, he'd be in there. But the Saints, they could go conservative on this one as they get ready for Monday Night Football. Meantime, the Pittsburgh Steelers' number one running back, James Conner, sprained his ankle in that game at MetLife Stadium against the New York Giants. He got an MRI on Tuesday morning, and the test results came back a lot better than they expected. He was out in the field to practice with the Steelers, and he should be expected to go against the Denver Broncos on Sunday afternoon. And finally, the last player to get into here is George Kittle, as the San Francisco 49ers are getting ready to head to New Jersey to face your New York Jets. And Kittle isn't practicing at all this week out in the Bay Area. He's going to try to rest, but I'm told that he should travel with the team, suit up, and he is expected to be active on Sunday against New York, as the team will stay on the East Coast because they play the Jets Sunday, and then they got the New York Giants the week after.
All right, a lot of important stuff there for a lot of fantasy players as well. Diana, stay close. We'll come back to more Football Friday as we go. But how about the action in the bubble last night in the critical Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals? How good is Bam Adebayo? The Heat looking to go up 2-0 against Kemba and the Celtics. Picking up third quarter, Heat down 4, but Tyler Hero dishing. And Bam Adebayo throwing it down. 21 points and 10 boards for Bam. This isn't the same play. This is just the same play. Throwing it up is Hero. Throwing it down is Adebayo, who had 15 points in the third quarter alone. Fourth quarter, 3 minutes, 50 seconds to go. Heat down 3. Watch the effort from Jimmy Butler. Look at him on the save. Spectacular. And then he gets it back. Butler, a quiet night scoring, just 14 points, but doing it all over the floor. Look at him. The foot's inbounds. Reestablish inbounds. Spectacular from Jimmy Butler, who had 3 steals in clutch time. Here comes another poke check, and we're going the other way. And it's Butler, and he finds Jay Crowder, and the Heat are up by 7 under a minute to go. Celtics down by 1, down by 6, excuse me, working it. Jaylen Brown, yes, it's a 3-point game. He had 21 after a turnover. Celtics now with a chance to tie. A good look for Brown in the corner, but he can't get it to go. And Adebayo gets the rebound. And oh my goodness, the Heat hold on to win. 106-101. Heat up 2-0 in the series. Entering halftime with a 13-point lead, the Celtics completely fell apart after the break. Outscored by 20 in the third. It was the Celtics' worst point differential in any single quarter, regular season or playoffs, this entire year. So that's the story in the East. How about the West? Game 1 set for tonight. Lakers, Nuggets, after Denver stunned the basketball world, knocking out the Clippers in Game 7 on Tuesday. Jamal Murray had a message for all of their critics.
We've been showing it. And you got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think, Zach Lowe's the name, I don't even know. Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect, because we put in the work.
I know his name. It's definitely Zach Lowe, and he's with me here this morning. Big Perk loves it. Zach, quickly, what is your reaction to people who have been counting them out? Look, you did. I did, too. I didn't think they would beat the Clippers. I didn't think they were going to beat Utah, to be honest with you. What do you make of this now as they go on against the Lakers?
Well, I picked them against Utah, but Jamal's right. I picked Clippers in 5. And when it was 3-1 Clippers, and the Clippers were up 16 or whatever in Game 5, I thought, well, Clippers in 5 looks pretty good. So Jamal can talk his talk. I doubted the Nuggets. I picked the Clippers. I thought the Clippers were going to win the championship. But this is a tough, resilient team with an absolutely devastating two-man game between Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and you got to work to beat them. This is not just a walkover for the Lakers. I'm sorry.
Well, let's talk about that, because a lot of people's Big Perk will view this as the carpet being rolled out for LeBron to win a 4th championship. Do you see it that way?
Well, I mean, look, Greeny, the bubble is difficult, right? And the way that the Lakers went through the Rockets, Denver don't stand a chance. But Zach, no, Jamal is not right. He's not right. Don't go back on your word. They were down 3-1 to the Jazz.
I didn't.
And they were down 3-1 to the Clippers. They had to earn their respect. Now they have earned a little respect, so now we could give them respect. But before then, you didn't say nothing wrong. Don't let Jamal change your mind and have you not do your part no more, or write your great journalist things that you do and put out your great reports. Don't let him do that to you. I'm sorry, Green, I had to get that in. You were right, Zach. He had to earn his respect.
I like it. I like the pep talk, okay, for Zach Lowe. All right, Zach, I was listening to your podcast, so I already know the answer to this question, but I want you to share it with everybody. There will be people, if LeBron wins this championship, who will say, well, he didn't wind up having to play Giannis, and he didn't wind up having to play the Clippers, and this whole thing in the bubble is a little unusual, and they will try to put an asterisk next to the championship. If they do that, what will Zach Lowe say?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
It's 1,000% nonsense. So you didn't have to play Giannis. Didn't have to play the Clippers. Why? Because good teams beat their teams. Now he has to play those teams, starting with the Nuggets. Do the Nuggets look like a red carpet to you? They are a half Serbian, half Canadian brick wall waiting in your way. Do the Heat look like a red carpet to you? Do the Celtics with Gordon Hayward look like a red carpet to you? These teams are really good, and the bubble is really hard for everybody. The mental adversity is real, but every team has to deal with it, and LeBron doesn't have to apologize for the Clippers losing or the Bucks losing. All he's got to do is keep his team together, keep his team strong, and beat who is in front of him. The asterisk talk is nonsense. It's from people that are already preemptively trying to discredit LeBron for whatever silly reason. No way. He has to earn it, starting with the Nuggets tonight.
I'm completely with you, but I wanted to make sure everyone else got a chance to hear it. Perk, back to you again. The question, what do you see in the series? Do you believe LeBron is a significant favorite here?
Absolutely. They're going to beat the Denver Nuggets. I say max 6, but I'm picking them in 5. Look, the way that LeBron James is playing, he's playing like the GOAT I've been telling you about, Greeny. Anthony Davis is playing like the generation of talent. The Lakers are finally hitting their stride. Their championship pedigree is kicking in right at the right time. talking about playoff Rondo. He's come alive. Alex Caruso is the heart and soul. He's bringing that tenacity. Danny Green and Caldwell Pope is finding their rhythm on the offensive end and knocking down trade balls. And let's talk about Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma on the defensive end. His defensive effort on the defensive end has been remarkable. Nobody is going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. They're going to win the championship. You could book it.
They are Big Perk and Zach Lowe. They are the odd couple with us here on Get Up, and it's as good as it gets. Enjoy the weekend, fellas. We will see you Monday and check in on where we are. Meanwhile, back to the football next. Dak Prescott has a unique gift at his fingertips, according to one of our experts. We'll tell you what that is and why the Cowboys are missing it. That's coming up next. And it's time for Sneaky Hambo, and this one's for McAfee. Here we go. Which Heisman-winning quarterback won the most games in the NFL? That's the question. He's pondering the answer. We'll see if he gets it right next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. All right, back on Get Up, and it's time for Sneaky Hembo. Pat McAfee, here's the question. Which Heisman-winning quarterback won the most games in the National Football League?
Hembo's had a big brain on him for sure. And Peyton Manning did not win the Heisman. I was going to pick him. And then, obviously, anytime you say Tim Tebow, the number moves. I'm not going to say him. My final answer, since the Bengals played last night, who is Carson Palmer? Give it to me.
He got it right. That is correct.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Hembo. Eat it, Hembo. Woo!
I'm stunned. Everyone in this room got it wrong. I guessed Staubach, Vinny Testaverde, and the answer was Carson Palmer. Meanwhile, we had two Heisman-winning quarterbacks last night, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow. It was Mayfield who got the best of it, but it was his running game that carried his team. Nick Chubb, part of the attack. He had 124 yards, and that was one of his two touchdowns. They ran for 215 on the night total. Then here's the best moment of the night for Baker. That's a 43-yard touchdown to Odell Beckham, who had four catches, 74 yards, and that score. And the Browns wind up with a 35-30 win that they desperately needed. There's another touchdown pass from Mayfield to Kareem Hunt. So the Browns, again, a win that they desperately needed in the battle of Heisman Trophy QBs.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face. We look forward to this all week long. Ryan Clark is a fabulous follow on Twitter, and we follow his tweets, and then he will explain some of them live here. All of these, I'm told, come from last night's game. So here we go. Tweet number one. Baker is sharp as a deacon from the greater missionary, fresh off the evangelistic rock of Mount Pilgrim, Methodist Pentecostal breath of the Seventh Son Baptist Holy of the Holies Church to start, could be good for his church members. Ryan Clark, explain that tweet.
Hey, look, Greeny, I'm from the South, man, and I grew up in Southern Baptist churches, and you always knew the one deacon that had the five-piece suit on with the six buttons and the alligator shoes was the sharpest dude, and he was going to pass around the collection plate. Well, that's what Baker Mayfield was doing at the start of the game. He was passing around the collection plate. His first five passes went to five different people, and it finished off with the bomb to Odell Beckham Jr. Kevin Stefanski did exactly what you needed to do. He came in, he wrote a great sermon, and then Deacon Baker Mayfield passed around the collection plate, and they said, we will take the money that jingles, but we rather the type that folds. Please dig into your pockets and give from your heart.
Okay, very good. Next one. OBJ with the doo-doo man New Jack City stutter, and Baker dropped this ball in like Salt Bay. This is what the 6,000 Browns fans came out to see. RC, explain that tweet. What's that?
Greeny, you what? Did not just disrespect the Dunham man like that. It's the Dunham man.
It's the Dunham man.
Because he stuttered. It's not like duh, 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 duh. I cannot believe you. Listen, the Dunham man was the muscle, right? He was the muscle for New Jack City, for G Money, for Nino Brown. And then you saw Odell Beckham Jr. hit old boy with the stutter, get down the sideline, catch the bomb. But then Baker Mayfield dropping the ball in like Salt Bae, giving you everything that you ever needed. He couldn't drop that ball. There was a drop on 4th-and-2 last week. Baker Mayfield placed it in Odell Beckham Jr.'s hand, and we finally got to see what we all signed up for. I was excited for the both of them.
Yes, that's what I thought it was. I was just confirming. All right, finally, here's the best one. Say, y'all, can we redshirt Joe until the Bengals get an O-line? RC, I don't think that one needs a lot of explanation, but what are your thoughts?
Greeny, it needs a lot of explanation. Joe is ours, right? Joe is like our little brother, and he comes off of the greatest college football season that we've ever seen, leading a true pack of Tigers, a true pack of Hunters, and now y'all put him with these baby Cubs in Cincinnati. Those aren't real Tigers. They aren't roaring. Those Tigers are asking for help. And here you have this monster Tiger, Joe Burrow, coming in, number one overall pick. And you are going to get him killed. So all I'm asking is, can we just take a year or two or three for the Bengals to figure out how to protect this man before we lose him? He is not only a Louisiana treasure, but a national treasure. And I refuse to let Cincinnati ruin him.
Outstanding work. Ryan Clark explaining his tweets. Meanwhile, as we look ahead to the weekend, let's do a little either or. McAfee, starting with you. Deshaun Watson or the Ravens defense? Who you got?
I like the Ravens defense. They bring a lot of pressure, and Deshaun Watson has not done great against the pressure. I think losing Nuke is a big deal. David Johnson had a breakout game once again on Thursday night game. But I like that Ravens defense a lot. They're hungry. They complement Lamar Jackson very, very well in that offense. I like the Ravens over Deshaun Watson.
Next, RC, how about them Cowboys taking on the Falcons? Who should their offense run through, Dak or Zeke?
Able to run the ball, didn't necessarily get the big plays you wanted in the run game, but also caught a touchdown for the Dallas Cowboys. In the second half, when they were relying on Dak Prescott and those wide receivers to pick up first downs, they were inept. They couldn't do it. And then you look at a 4th-and-3 in the red zone of the Rams when they should have kicked it, and CeeDee Lamb gets stopped. Start with Ezekiel Elliott, end with Ezekiel Elliott. Let Dak play off of him.
Okay, I agree with you, but you know what you're going to do here? You were going to get your buddy Dominique Foxworth mad. He disagrees, and he said this on this show yesterday about the Cowboys.
Kansas City plays aggressively. They play like they have an all-star or a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. And I feel like the play calling and the play design in Dallas, it treats Dak Prescott as if he's not a Pro Bowl-level quarterback, as if he's some sort of game manager. And they treat that offense as if those players are not as good as they are. I think they should put more complicated schemes in and take more shots and let Dak Prescott win or lose them the game.
And it was a really good conversation that ensued from that. But basically, the point he was making in larger terms was, you spend all your money on offense, you spend all these assets on offense, now you're paying the quarterback like he's a star, even though it's on the franchise tag. Do they need to open up the offense and be more aggressive? RC, you look skeptical.
Yeah. Well, I'm skeptical about the comparison. He compared Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott. Not the same thing. Right? When one person has a Lamborghini and the other person has a Honda Pilot, you don't let those two teams race, nor do you have the same pit crews. And so that's the one thing.
That's a Honda Pilot, you just said, RC.
Listen, it was my favorite car when I played. I got a Honda Pilot from doing some promotion and I loved it. I drove it to the game every Sunday. It was extremely reliable. It was safe, and it could get you to point A to B eventually. Maybe not fast, but eventually. And that's who Dak Prescott is. He's reliable, he's safe, and he will get you from point A to B eventually. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, will get you point A to B right now. And that's the reason that Andy Reid coaches that way. But when you make that comparison, I want you to think of this. Think back to last Thursday. Who was the star for the Kansas City Chiefs? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know why? Because they had to put people on the outside to stop the passing game, and Andy Reid made the smart decision to go with the best option, not necessarily the best player. The best option for this team right now with those three wide receivers is Ezekiel Elliott, and you get to the pass game off of that. These two things are not the same. But one thing that is true, if you go with what's best, if you go away from where the defense is leaning, you can win. And that's what the Cowboys have to do, not force feed Dak Prescott so you can make up or make yourself feel better for putting him on the franchise tag and paying him $31 million.
Well, McAfee, let me put the question to you this way, because this is a huge topic on this show all the time. In your mind, is Dak Prescott a quarterback you can win with? Or is he the kind of quarterback you win because of? That, I feel, is sort of the line of delineation we're talking about here.
I don't think he's a Honda pilot. I mean, that was quite a shot at Dak Prescott. I mean, what RC did, I understand it's got good miles per gallon.
It's so reliable.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, that was quite a shot to not even put him in, like, a foreign car. Like, you get it. That was just a bad comparison. But for me, I think the bad comparison relies from Dominique there in the Cowboys and the Chiefs, the way their teams are built. I mean, the Chiefs just have all those weapons. But if you even look at them on Thursday night, they started feeding CEH. I mean, that was what they were doing. I think that's what their offense is going to look like this year as well. I think it's going to be a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think they know that the run game opens up the pass game. They got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. I mean, they have a litany of speed and talent. So comparing Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott and the way the Chiefs offense operates and the way the Cowboys offense operates is just two very different things. And Mike McCarthy is a quarterback whisperer. Dak Prescott is going to a focal point of that offense. But if you have Ezekiel Elliott, your best player on offense, and he's already been paid a lot of money just a year ago after skipping training camp and going down to Mexico and having a good time, and he's getting tattoos on his gut saying, feed me more, and he proves why you should feed him more every single time he gets the rock, I think that offense goes through number 21 in the backfield. I think Dak will like that as well because he'll be able to open up everybody else. But the comparison of the Cowboys and the Chiefs is just not a good one, not because one's a Honda Pilot and one's a Lamborghini, but because the rosters are just two very different places. And you, I that's what you think.
I'm not 100% sure I agree with that. Let's live in a world where you took those three receivers and Zeke that are on the Cowboys and you gave them Patrick Mahomes. Are you telling me that offense would be less explosive than the one that the Kansas City Chiefs have? You're talking about Gallup and Amari and the kids C.D. Lamb and Zeke Elliott. RC, do you follow where I'm going with this? I mean, to me, the difference is the way they call the game and who the quarterback is.
I 100% agree with you. If you gave Patrick Mahomes those list of skill players, the Kansas City Chiefs would still be extremely explosive. And then if you look past Tyreek Hill, whether it's Robinson, Mecole Hardman, or Sammy Watkins at this point, these aren't necessarily guys that you would take before the three wide receivers on the Dallas Cowboys. And definitely the running back at least has proven that he's one of the top in the league in Ezekiel Elliott. So to me, this is about the quarterback. To me, this is about play calling. But we can't get caught up in the fact that the Dallas Cowboys aren't explosive or they didn't make plays down the field in 1 week. The Dallas Cowboys called this game like it was supposed to be called. It wasn't executed in the way that it was supposed to be executed. We're always asking for all of these other reasons to make Dak Prescott something that he hasn't been. Patrick Mahomes stepped in and was Patrick Mahomes. It was no other reason. Alex Smith had gone away. It was the same coach, the same weapons. You changed one thing. And Andy Reid, who has been one of the greatest coaches for the last two decades, finally wins a championship. That one thing was the quarterback. You switch these guys, it's not the same in the same places.
Go ahead, McAfee.
Well, just saying that Tyreek Hill would not be selected over the three wide receivers for the Dallas Cowboys was one of the most asinine things.
You didn't listen to what I said.
No, that's not what he said.
I said Tyreek Hill. I didn't put Tyreek Hill in there. I said other than Tyreek Hill, when you talk about the rest of the guys on that list, they're not over the Dallas Cowboys. I don't say stupid things to say stupid things.
The difference is the quarterback.
Well, I agree. You don't normally. That's why I was absolutely shocked. But Tyreek Hill is the difference between the Patrick Mahomes-led offense and the Dak Prescott-led offense and the Cowboys. Tyreek Hill is just a guy that opens up the entire field. And for the entire first half, game on Thursday, he was just used as a distraction, which opens up everything else. If Dak Prescott had Tyreek Hill as a weapon outside, I would say, hey, put that thing in Dak's hand every single time. Let him throw 61 times like Joey Burrow, but he's not on that team. I think you feed Zeke until you can't feed Zeke no more.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. We'll come back with much more football as we go. But right now, let me get up and go around the rest of the news of a busy sports day, and it includes the Padres and Mariners forced to move their series this weekend from Seattle to San Diego because of air quality issues in Washington State. The Padres could be in position to clinch their first playoff berth since 2006. Meanwhile, U.S. Open champion Naomi Osaka will miss the upcoming French Open. She said in a tweet, quote, "My hamstring is still sore, so I won't have enough time to prepare for the clay. These two tournaments came too close together for me this time." Elsewhere, Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade announced on SportsCenter yesterday he will be opting back into the college football season and playing for Ohio State. He's listed as the number 7 prospect on Mel's big board. And we've got college football coming your way tomorrow night. De'Eriq King leading the number 17 Hurricanes into Louisville to take on the number 18 Cardinals. It's 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. It's Saturday Night Football presented by Capital One. Coming up after a dominant Monday night, should Ryan Clark's Steelers be mentioned in the same breath as the Chiefs and the Ravens? The answer is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
The 58th Bundesliga season kicks off today. We will have Bayern and Schalke on ESPN and ESPN Plus, 2:25 Eastern. ESPN Plus will have more than 300 Bundesliga matches in English and Spanish this season. To get ESPN Plus, download the app or go to ESPNplus.com. So that's one form of football. Here are my Sunday football picks for this week. Rams, Eagles, Carson Wentz needs a bounce back. Aaron Donald is the last person on earth you want to bounce off, especially with the O-line banged up. This won't end well. Rams win straight up. Panthers, Bucks. Tampa Tom needs to tell his new coach to let the running backs and the defense win one for a change. And they will. Bucks by 100. Broncos, Steelers. Pittsburgh has the best defense in the sport, and Big Ben is going to get better and better. Wave the towels, 24-13. Falcons in Dallas. Dak and Zeke need to play keep away, or Julio could ruin their day. Put Elliott down for 150 on the ground. 23-22. How about them Cowboys? Niners, Jets. Honestly, do they even have to play this game? That defense against Adam Gase's offense? San Francisco could punt on every first down and still win by 3 touchdowns. Niners, 174-8. Bills, Dolphins. Is Josh Allen as good as the Jets made him look? No, but he's good enough to win here easily. Again, Bills by 10. Giants, Bears, which Mitch shows up? The first three quarters or the fourth? Either way, I ride with Saquon and Danny Dimes. 17-16, G-Man. Ravens, Texans, oh, what a matchup. Two young superstar quarterbacks. I'll take the one whose team didn't trade away his best player. Baltimore, 34-20. Chiefs, Chargers, Patrick Mahomes. Need I say more? 34-14, everything's up to date in Kansas City. Finally, prime time, Sunday night, Pats, Hawks, Cam, Russell. One of these quarterbacks has an MVP. The other is getting his this year. Give me Seattle, 31-16. Read him and weep, McAfee. What do you think?
I love what you're doing there. I mean, the Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites. You got them covering with ease there. And then the Jets losing by 174 points, I believe. That is a perfect prediction. I like what you're doing, Greeny. I like the way you're just slaughtering teams for making bad decisions, too, with the Texans trading away their best player. I like your heads at, Greeny. I like your big old brain you got on you while you sit over that river over there and judge people.
Thank you very much. And again, the picks always have one phrase, and they are hashtag KOD. Meanwhile, let's talk about this team. The Steelers won their season opener Monday night against the Giants, looked good on both sides of the ball. Ben Roethlisberger threw 3 touchdowns. The Pittsburgh defense held Saquon Barkley to 6 yards rushing on 15 carries. And so we will bring back something called Change My Mind. And I will tell you, I've been saying this since the beginning of August. I picked the Steelers to win that division, and I will say this right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers, in my mind, have made it a big 3 in the AFC. I give them just as good a chance by the time we get to the end of being there at standing in the Super Bowl representing the AFC as I do the Chiefs and the Ravens. Ryan Clark, change my mind.
I don't want to change your mind. That's first off. I like the way that you're thinking, but I do believe that you're wrong. Let's not rush to judgment on this Pittsburgh Steeler offense, and we can't necessarily expect this defense to turn the ball over as much as it did last year. I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are a cut above, and the Baltimore Ravens are stacked white right with them. And when you go to the rest of the AFC, the Steelers would be at the top, but they aren't on the level of those two teams. At some point, this offense is going to be able to have to score with the Baltimore Ravens and and the Kansas City Chiefs, who do it at an amazing clip and in very explosive ways. We didn't see that from this Pittsburgh Steelers offense against the New York Giants, and obviously not last year with backup quarterbacks. So we have to wait to see how they progress, how Big Ben continues to play, because if we want to put them on the level of those two teams, we need to see more explosiveness. So Greeny, I love the way that you're thinking. I just want you to hold off a little bit so we can truly see what the Pittsburgh Steelers look like offensively against a real NFL football defense.
Diana, what do you think?
I'm not going to change your mind completely. I'm going to curt it a little bit, or at least curtail it just a little bit. I think what they have in terms of the blueprint of this defense working is spot on, and I agree with you in terms of their force. In fact, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of when the Pittsburgh Steelers made that trade with the Miami Dolphins for Minkah Fitzpatrick. We rarely see the Steelers make a trade for a first-round draft pick, and look how that worked out. He's now become one of the best defenders on that team behind Cam Hayward and Bud Dupree. But this is going to fall on the offense. Juju Smith-Schuster had a down year last year. He needs to prove that he is the number one. We had a little glimpse of it against the New York Giants, but it is still way too early to crown the Steelers defense the best in the AFC, but they certainly can be a runner-up at this point in the season.
I will repeat quickly, McAfee, before I give it to you. Last year, they were 8-3 in games in which they scored 11 or more points. They only allowed 27 points three times the whole year last year, and that was with the worst quarterback play probably in the entire NFL. McAfee, change my mind.
Well, Duck Hodges didn't deserve that, but Yinzers are going to love to hear what you're saying this morning on Get Up, and I think you could be right here, but just not now. I think that defense with Cam Hayward, Bud Dupree, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Joe Hayden, T.J. Watt, I mean, they are a dominant force, and they made that Giants offensive line, which is notoriously terrible, look even worse. And that defense almost carried them to an offseason like you just, or into a playoff like you just said, with basically no offense. But Ben Roethlisberger looked bad early. He kind of got the jitters off of him a little bit. Juju Smith-Schuster, is this going to be the Juju for this year? Benny Snell looks like he's running a lot harder than James Conner, although James Conner got hurt. So if that offense can get clicking at all, I think you're right, but I don't think now's the time to say that they can keep up with the Baltimore Ravens offense, which is a buzzsaw. Lamar Jackson looks better than he's ever looked. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill on the offense for Kansas City Chiefs look like they haven't slowed down one bit. And this is an offensive league. That's what you're going to have to do. So if Ben Roethlisberger can get back to form, and I've been on the opposite side of a Ben Roethlisberger 50 burger, I understand what that can look like. But with that defense, I think you're 100% right, just not yet. And Yinzers right. are going to love them some Mike Greenberg this morning.
We'll see. I'm telling you right. Nothing in this conversation changed my mind. We will take a short break, and we'll let you know that First Take is coming up next. The Browns won. Odell caught a touchdown. Is all well in Cleveland this morning? Stephen A. and Max answer that and more. It's First Take, 5 minutes from right now on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. And by the Emmys, live Sunday, September 20th, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ABC. And tomorrow, what a card for the next UFC fight night from Vegas. Former champ Tyrone Woodley and former interim champ Colby Covington square off in the welterweight main event. Prelims start 5 Eastern with the main card 8 Eastern and ESPN Plus in English and Spanish. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And we are out of time on this Football Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. See you noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. First Take starts now.